Good morning, members of the court. My name is Glenn Reynolds. I represent Timothy Whiteagle in this case. And I'd like to focus my argument today on the issue of sentencing. And I'd like to remind the court of the context of this bribery case. This is not your normal bribery of an elected official for some benefit on a contract. This is a tribal government that has legislators that have dual purposes. They manage the business and they represent their people. And the advent of this conspiracy charge begins with vendors that are swirling around the tribe trying to find out how to do business with the Ho-Chunk. And Timothy Whiteagle steps up and says, I know how to do it. I can give you advice. And they hire him as a lobbyist. And he has a connection on the legislature, Clarence Pettibone, and he exploits it, quite frankly. I mean, so the government squeezes essentially a wire fraud case is where he's trying to extract more than his monthly sum to enrich himself. And in those emails, he tells about bribery. But the truth is, and the focus on the sentencing where I think the trial judge made the mistake, is that the monies that were sent to Clarence Pettibone were sent after the fact, after the votes.
But this is a continuing course of conduct, and it seems to me that the characterization of those payments as either on the one hand gratuities or on the other hand bribes is really a question of fact, and it seemed to me that it was within the boundary for the district judge to see this constant stream of very substantial payments as bribes, looking toward future action, looking toward making sure that these, you know, whether it was cash systems or some of the later entities continued to be happy. I'm not sure that's the only way you could look at it, but that's not the standard. It looks to me as though this was a perfectly rational characterization. If so, it was fine to use 2C1.1.
Well, the court didn't even acknowledge that, I acknowledge that there could be sort of, and the government argues that these are future events and for future benefits and all of that.
So this isn't just a one-off. This isn't, you know, one moment and either the money got paid before or after. He's like on retainer. It's an arrangement undertaken with the notion of a significant continuing course of conduct.
But the course of conduct, there's nothing wrong with Mr. Whiteagle being hired to be a consultant.
But there's everything wrong with Mr. Whiteagle causing cash systems and the others to MCA and to the extent he was trying to do it, Trinity, to bribe Mr. Pettibone.
Absolutely. There's no question.
And the tribe was hurt by that. I mean, there are comments in your brief that struck me as the no harm, no foul sort of argument since the tribe was running its businesses. But, of course, bribery is a terrible tax on the overall transaction. The tribe was certainly hurt by being the victim of bribery.
Well, to the extent there was bribery, yes, of course. I mean, it was a very disruptive scenario to have an individual between the vendor and
millions of dollars getting siphoned off.
Well, but that, I think, is not true, because this is not your typical bribery scheme where it's a pay-for-play, where an individual is actually profiting from the loss to the public.
It's very much like a lot of the bribery cases that I, for one, have seen.
Well, here's the difference.
All right, go ahead.
Judge, the difference is that these contracts were vetted by everyone within the tribe, the lawyers, the financial consultants.
But without the information.
Right, they didn't know about that spring 2006 meeting between Whiteagle, Pettibone, Atherton, and the representatives of Trinity, where Pettibone turns to Whiteagle and says, are these the ones you want me to pick? And I'm sure they didn't know about the shakedown email from Whiteagle to, you know, Wolfington, MCA's CEO, with a copy to Pettibone in which Whiteagle warns MCA. And he says, you know, we've devoted so many months to prepare your way without pay underline it, and be assured that the next 5 days are going to determine what we'll do next with you, you know, with the HCN, and you know, that's the email that's sent shortly before Pettibone seconds that legislative motion to approve the $4 million contract.
That was a $250,000 contract, Your Honor. But you're right about
this. A dollar here, a dollar there.
Okay, but it's true that, you know, this is unlike, I mean, the Trinity meeting you refer to is not unlike a lobbyist meeting with a legislator. Is this the contract you want me to sign? What went wrong here is the money that was sent from White Eagle to Pettibone through the Taekwondo individual checks. That was wrong. But here's the question. If Pettibone's vote was not swayed by that, if his vote was in the best interest of the nation, if everyone agreed that that vote was in the best interest of the nation, then the loss is not the contract. The loss must be calculated according to Anderson, your case, must be calculated based upon the payments made, whether they're gratuities or bribe, $92,000 versus $2.5 million that was paid voluntarily by the companies.
But the money should have been, if that was the market clearing price for this arrangement, then perhaps hypothetically, you know, some intermediary fee, but the money should have gone to the tribe. That's what happens in all these bribery situations. Mm-hmm. There's a distortion of the market. And that, you know, no one told the tribe that actually these companies were willing to pay far more money for the contract than the tribe ever heard about.
Well, but
that was all under the table.
Oh, that's true. But this was money that the vendors were free to spend if they wanted to, because they were going to make millions. And
but,
so it was,
well, I mean,
it was a business
true,
decision.
True, but non-responsive to my point. When bribery is infecting the transactions, the buyer and the seller, or at least one side of that, in this instance, you know, the Ho-Chunk Nation is buying services from Cash Systems. So as a buyer, it doesn't actually know what the seller is willing to pay it. Because the seller is taking off the top. You know, for the seller, it's just an overall price. One part of it is for the Ho-Chunk Nation. One part of it is for Mr. Pettibone. One part of it is for Mr. White Eagle. I don't know if there's anybody else in the picture, but, you know, it's not transparent to the buyer. And the buyer is injured that way. And I guess getting back to the bribery, that's a bit of a side point, but it just seems to me, A, a fact issue, and B, entirely reasonable for the district court judge to characterize these as payments for a future flow of services, influence, if you will.
But if Mr. Pettibone sat at the table with all his other legislators and everyone agreed that these were good contracts that benefited the nation, then his vote was not corrupted by
but
that.
But he's very careful about when that meeting takes place and who's been elected when. He's trying to manipulate it.
You mean Pettibone? Or
Pettibone.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. You know, if Pettibone's, you know, there was evidence at the trial. I know the legislator said, Clarence Pettibone never asked me to do anything. He never lobbied. Now, if somebody's being bribed, they're going to push every button to make sure that this thing goes through. Instead, the evidence was that Pettibone referred all of these contracts. Sometimes it took over a year for everyone to agree that this was the best deal. And in fact, they were good deals. And when it went from Cash Systems to MCA, MCA had a better deal to allow the tribe to take action. So the overall objection is that if this was a payment after the fact and the loss was simply the payments made to Mr. White Eagle. The difference.
But the guidelines do say that that it's a bribe, and we had two alternate ways of assessing the loss. I actually do have a problem with the full value of the contract, since I think it should have been netted out. But the alternative value that the government asks the district court to make a finding on is just the money that White Eagle received. which was in the neighborhood of $3 million, and the judge does make that finding, that strikes me as a solid finding. And that puts you in the 2.5 to 7 million range.
Unless that was, it seems to me the key is whether that loss was lost to the tribe because they had a lobbyist that they were willingly paying, or was that a loss with respect to a corrupted vote? If all the members of the Ho-Chunk, including the consultants, said that this was a solid contract, and in fact it was, then you don't have your standard bribery.
Of course, they didn't know that he was presenting these false invoices to cash systems, did they?
No, they didn't. And
right.
That.
And doesn't that tend to show that the monies that were paid to him were, in fact, for purposes of bribery rather than for the ostensibly legitimate services that are reflected on the invoices?
Well, Your Honor, I think those were indications of Mr. Whiteagle's attempt to extract money from the vendors improperly, which, you know, we complained of as being evidence of wire fraud that led to propensity evidence in the case.
And you know, everything that he's doing, these inflated invoices, that's one way to make the transfer of funds appear to be legitimate when they're utterly false.
I know. Well, it certainly hurt our option, our chances at trial, because Whiteagle, I had to present Whiteagle as a liar, and he was. but the government chose to say he lied for this but not for that, and that was the unfair part of it.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Reynolds. Ms. Finn?
Thank you. May I please the Court? My name is Laura Shevelinsky Finn. I'm an assistant United States attorney. I was one of the lawyers that represented the United States below, and I represent the case, represent the United States here today.
Before you even begin, forgive me, but it's just sort of a bottom line question. Did the government have an idea of how much money ultimately was paid to Mr. Pettibone? In other words, is it the same as the total in Mr. Whiteagle's reply brief? Is it?
The paper trail is the total that's in the reply brief. So the $92,000 is what we could trace in terms of bank records, the Firebird, all the quote-unquote donations to the Taekwondo studio. That's what that adds up to. But the government also introduced extensive evidence that of the money Whiteagle got and that went into his bank accounts, a large amount of that, the majority of it, was withdrawn as cash.
And he got like $2 million.
He got $2 million, just under $2 million from cash systems, and then the bulk of the other $1 million he got from both MCA, Money Centers of America, and Trinity. And I think, as this court correctly points out, Pettibone really was on retainer, and it really was a corrupt system. This deal that they had corrupted the entire system, because there's an example of cash systems getting in. They get in 2002 once they sign their contract with Whiteagle. Whiteagle's making $22,500 a month. Why? Because he can influence Pettibone. That's it. That's what he's getting paid for. And that's why the $3 million is the appropriate amount to look at in terms of what the loss figure is.
So you would concede that the seven should have been netted out. I mean, certainly the tribe does receive some value.
Right.
Under the contracts, in the form of the cash systems that are set up, I guess this is ATM. I don't know what these things are. You know,
right? And actually, the amount seemed to be over $7 million. You could perhaps take out the amount of money that Whiteagle made from it, but it is
no,
clear.
And also the value. I mean,
right.
It's a net thing. And had you not gotten that, I mean, it was a prudent move to get that alternative finding from the district court. I have a question to ask you about counts 2 and 5, because these are the causing bribery counts.
Right.
And count 3 is the one where we can actually trace through how, you know, Whiteagle caused somebody else to bribe Pettibone. But there's the evidence is weak on 2 and 5 as to how that money flowed through Whiteagle. You're saying, well, there was lots of cash withdrawals, but people withdraw cash, and that's why they do it, actually. It's untraceable. So you're asking us to just assume it managed to find its way to Pettibone, but without much to hang our hats on.
With those two counts, and I just so that the record is clear, the numbers of the counts referred to in the briefs, the 2 and 5, are the way that they were renumbered at the time of trial. So it's a little bit confusing if one looks at the judgment. But those were the counts 2 and 5 were renumbered for trial. And the government's proof on those were the emails that caused that, and the jury's ability to basically believe what White Eagle said in those emails, that the money was for Pettibone. And based on all of the other evidence and viewing that evidence in the light and most favorable to the government, the jury could conclude that, in fact, White Eagle meant what he said, and that's what he was going to do with the money, and that's what happened with the money.
But he doesn't give it all. I mean, you know, like he'll get $8,000 and he'll take out $3,500 or something like that. We just don't know very much about this, and we don't know about whether his mental state is to cause, let's say, cash systems to make this big payment to him as the intermediary, but then secretly to just pocket it, or whether he really means for it to go on through to Pettibone. Where's our intent evidence there?
Certainly the intent evidence throughout the case is that White Eagle needed to keep Pettibone happy. I would agree that Pettibone did not get the same amount of money that White Eagle got. But throughout, the only way Cash Systems is giving White Eagle any more money is if it's attached to Pettibone, and White Eagle is giving Pettibone what he needs to keep him happy.
No, and so you're just assuming that, actually, because Cash Systems is hoping that White Eagle will be, if I can use the word, an honest intermediary, and do whatever it takes to keep Pettibone happy. But they have very little ability to monitor that.
They do have little ability to monitor it, except for the fact that Pettibone is working for them. I mean, remember, in 2006, Cash Systems loses the contract for a very brief amount of time, and everybody is very worried about this. And so what White Eagle does is he contacts Cash Systems. He says, look, I talked to my man. He's going to talk to the president. He's going to get this turned around for you. He said this can't happen. By the way, I need a little more money. He gives Pettibone some money. Then Pettibone brings up the vote, says, look, the president can't do this unilaterally, and Cash Systems gets the contract again.
Suppose Cash Services gave White Eagle $1 million and said, give half of this to Pettibone. The rest is your fee. So you wouldn't say there was $1 million of bribes there, would you?
No. No, and I think that the way...
What exactly is the difference? That he pocketed this money without revealing it to Cash Services?
Right, that he's causing them to give money to him under the guise of keeping Pettibone on their side. And so that's what they do. That's they give the money based on a bribe.
Suppose they give him the $2 million or whatever, thinking that he's going to pass, you know, 95% of it on to Pettibone. Is the whole 100% that they gave him the bribe, or the 95%, or what?
I think that the whole amount in this situation would be the bribe, because White Eagle's whole job was to act corruptly,
But you're not saying that the payments from Cash Systems to White Eagle are the bribes. You're
right.
Saying
I mean,
it's this 2B theory under 18 U.S.C. that, you know, whoever willfully causes an act to be done, meaning in this instance by Cash Systems, which if directly performed by him would be an offense. So if White Eagle bribed Pettibone, would have been an offense. So if White Eagle makes Cash Systems bribe Pettibone, that's what makes an offense. But what we need to link up is that Cash Systems is actually bribing Pettibone via White Eagle, and that's where the evidence on these two particular counts requires a lot of inference.
There is an inference, and I think looking at the totality of the circumstances, everything that came in at trial, I think the jury was allowed to make those inferences on those
counts.
Do you think White Eagle did anything for Cash Services apart from bribing? Any consulting or advice or or lobbying or anything?
Not anything that wasn't corrupt. I mean, he was behind the scenes. He was secret, and he, in fact, told them, look, if anybody knows about me.
What if some of what he did is, you know, talking to legislators? He's a lobbyist, right?
Right. He had one legislator that he secretly communicated with all the time, and that was Pettibone, and that was, his...
So how much of Cash Services' payment to him is compensation for communicating with that legislator?
Because that communication was corrupt, I don't think any of it.
I don't understand. Why is it corrupt if he's just talking to the legislator?
Because he picks one legislator that he secretly meets with. The Ho-Chunk Nation knows nothing of White Eagle's involvement. It's all behind the scenes. And Pettibone's getting paid off.
I think your argument is that it's because the content of the conversations is how much money do you need for this next vote?
Well,
He certainly is allowed to say, I think Cash Systems is a great company. They're going to serve the nation well.
Right. As long as he's only talking.
Lobbyists do stuff like that all the time.
Right, right. If he's only talking, that's right. It is about the flow of money, the flow of gifts, the flow of...
But there seems to be, the flow seems to be a very narrow trickle. It's so puzzling. He gets $2 million or $3 million and he just pays, what does Pettibone get, $100,000?
That we can trace. I think it is very reasonable to believe that a lot of the money that White Eagle took out in cash went to Pettibone. I think that's a fair inference, particularly at sentencing.
Why do you put a number on it? I don't understand. You don't have a number.
Well, determining loss, you do the best you can. And when you look at White Eagle, what White Eagle got from this, the reason he was paid is because he had a corrupt influence on Pettibone. And so to try to distinguish,
But if you pay a person $1 million to bribe someone $100,000, so you're paying the briber a salary for bribing, but that $900,000 that he keeps as his reward for bribing is not bribe. It's not a bribe.
I understand what the court is saying, but I think that because he did not have a legitimate business, he didn't have a legitimate...
I understand that. Suppose it's totally illegitimate. You pay a crook to bribe. But the payment to the crook for the service of bribery is not a bribe. It's something else, illegal, but I don't see that it's a bribe.
Right, and I think the guideline, the application note in the guideline that was applied here says that in order to determine loss, you can look at various things. One of the things is the person who worked with the public official and what the person who worked with the public official got. And that was the government's theory in terms of what White Eagle got. He was working directly with Pettibone, so it was appropriate to look at the amount of money he got to determine the loss in the case.
He was just lucky that Pettibone wasn't as greedy as he was. Is that it?
It certainly seems to be that way.
Okay,
thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Finn. Mr. Reynolds, have anything further?
Just a few points, Your Honor. White Eagle did perform valuable services for the vendor. It wasn't just to bribe, because these vendors don't know anything about how tribal government works. And and this was part of the trial testimony, that he was hired because it's a black box. We don't understand how they're working. So White Eagle did, look, $22,500 is a lot, but White Eagle did perform a service. The other piece is in terms of the cash. This was a big problem, I think, in the government's argument at the jury. They asked the jury to infer that cash payments were made to Pettibone. There was no evidence of that at all. And Whiting was very upfront about paying Pettibone with cashier's checks, with advocating for payments to the Taekwondo school. And yes, he did withdraw a lot of cash, but not one bit of evidence ever traced any of those cash payments to Pettibone. And as we pointed out to the court, we even traced Pettibone's deposits with the cash withdrawals, and there was no connection.
What about the argument that White Eagle was being bribed to bribe Pettibone?
Well, I don't think he was, because he was performed.
The statute covers that, or appears to.
He was hired to get the contracts. Now, the vendors didn't probably care a damn about how he went about it. I mean, they seemed perfectly willing to give $8,000 for attorney's fees or for legislative, campaign expenses. They really didn't care. But he did perform a valuable service just to say, here's what's happening within the realm of the tribe. So I don't think it was the 22.5 was just for bribery. It was to maintain the contracts.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Reynolds. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Next case for argument is Junior versus Anderson.